I see your Bibles tonight. Word. I see your pens and your notebooks or your lesson plans. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. First book, first page of the Bible. Page 1. Page 1. Ooh. Ooh. I'm melting. If you can't see the fog, we got some fog up here. See the fog? Don't try this at home. Welcome to the Rock. How many visitors do we have? Amen. We have a group from Molokai, Hawaii. Go ahead now. Welcome to beautiful San Diego. Is San Diego beautiful, more beautiful than where you're from? You're probably the only place that we can say that to. Everywhere else. We so love San Diego. Y'all probably let me get home. Let me get out of this nasty place. No, it's beautiful, though. Beautiful. Where else do we have people from? Raise your hand. Who's a visitor? What'd you say? Oh. Anybody else from out of town? Raise your hand. Just where you from? Las Vegas. Huh? Las Vegas. Pray for you. Move. Yes. Guatemala. Amen. Where? France. ¿Cómo se va? Hey, I know a little French. You don't like that. that's all I know, though. Where? Who else? England. How are you? Brazil. Okay, how do you say Brazil? Hold on a second. Hola, Brazil, Mexico. Who is Mexico? Hello, hola. Dios te bendiga. That means God bless you, don't laugh. He knows, you know what I'm talking about, right? Comprende? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Brazil. You speak Portuguese? Okay, I know. Say it again. Como va você? Wait a minute, what did you tell me to say on the video? Remember? Jesus. No, how you say hello? Oi. Oi. There you go. Oi. Oi. Oi, oi, oi. Who else? Anybody else? Kenya. Kenya Swahili? Buona Sifiwe. Buona Sifiwe means praise the Lord. Say buona. Buona. Asi Fiwe. That's praise the Lord, correct? Yes. And what was the other word, that the slang word? Sosa? Sasa. Sasa means what's happening. Yeah, you got to go to learn language, the slang when you go someplace. You can't be like, Wana Asa Fiwe. You have to be like, Sasa. And they go, you know Swahili? I said, no, I don't know Swahili. anybody else? One more person. Where are you from? Visitor.
Ethiopia.
What language do they speak there? How do you say hello? They don't say hello. Huh? How do you say what's happening? Like, is there a street slang way of saying hello? Well, some of y'all need to know. Huh? Tadias? Okay, Tadias. Everyone say Tadias. Okay. We're in week 3 of a 7, 8, 9 week series on evolution creation. Evolution is the series. Evolution is a theory about our origin based on naturalistic science, not God. They teach evolution in public schools. They are now teaching it in Christian schools. As fact, it is still a theory. And in public schools, they teach it as the scientific answer to our origin that has nothing to do with God. Because you, in public schools, they say you can't combine religion, God, and religion in science. What they forget is that God created science. Creation is the biblical account of our origins, that God created us. What I have been challenging you since day one is that you have to choose between one or the other. You cannot believe, in my opinion, in evolution and creation. You can't believe that we originated from nothing or we originated from something somehow without God doing it. Can't believe that and say at the same time you believe in the Bible. It's my opinion. Bible says God created us. We're going to see that. Either he did or he didn't. So our challenge to you today, actually we're going to talk about something different today, but my challenge to you in this whole series is that you understand what you believe about your origin, whether you are an object of random choice, natural selection, you're an accident, you have no future, your beginning was an accident, your end is going to be a disaster, and there is no afterlife, you'll just die and go into the ground. Or God created you, has a plan for your life, an eternal plan to eventually be with him forever. One of those are true and one of those is false. If the latter is true, that God does have a plan for you, you will stand before him whether you want to or not. You will face him whether you believe in evolution or creation. So it behooves you to understand the issues and to choose the right one so you're prepared when you see him. Because when you see him, if you're not ready, it's over. There is no second chance. You're not going to be like, oh man, God, I'm sorry. Let me go back to church one more time and get saved. That's not going to happen. The Bible says it's appointed for a man to die one time and face judgment. One time. So these issues are very important. So let's pray, and I pray that God would open your eyes up to the issues at hand. Lord, we just pray for our minds, our hearts, that we may understand what your word says. Lord, I pray that you would open up the eyes of our hearts that we may see exactly what you mean, what you say. You may see that we may see how much you love us, the amazing plan you have for our life. Lord, how patient you've been. I pray, Lord, as we talk about creation and about how you created the heavens and earth, that we would see that you are more than able to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a little kid, one of the things, actually when we were all little kids, I would assume, one of the little things I loved doing was getting up early in the morning, especially in the summertime, get my bike and riding all day. Y'all remember that? You get up, get on your bike. Where am I going to go? It's like your horse. It's like a cowboy. Yeah. I got the whole neighborhood to conquer. And we used to ride our bikes. Did any of y'all used to put the little playing cards in your spokes? How many of y'all don't know what that is? Okay, see, y'all from the new era where y'all got the little scooters and the razors and stuff. Old school is you got a bicycle and you take these playing cards and you rubber band them to the frame so they go in your wheel spokes. So when the wheel turns, it goes, it sounds like a little motor. Okay, that was cool. You remember that? Then you had the big sissy bar on the back. Okay, you remember that? Big old long sissy bar on the back. And then you had your big handlebars, your long fork in the front. Ride your bike, you ride with no hands, ride on one wheel, you find some sand on the ground, you slam the brakes on, throw the back out like that. These are all little bike things. And one day I had my sister on my bike. She was on the handlebars. And my mom said, don't ride your little sister on the handlebars. I said, well, let's ride the handlebars. So I had to ride. I was riding fast. Go faster. We're flying. And the front wheel locked. The bike flipped. She hit her head in the concrete, busted her head open. She had a big forehead, so it was all this blood everywhere. I was petrified. She was scared. I was scared. I hurt my little sister. And I love my little sister. She was like my favorite. And picked her up one hand, picked my bike up another hand, ran home, healed her all up. But one day, not one day, all the time, my father would tell me, okay, you're going out to play, Dad, going out to play. Okay, I want you home in the house. At 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. When the street lights come on, and I sit down to watch the news at 6, to watch the news and eat the dinner, I want you in the house. Okay, Dad. What'd I say? You want me home at 6 o'clock? when the street lights come on, when you sit down to eat dinner, and when the news comes on, I'll be in the house. Okay. So I go out, play, and I'm watching the clock. Now, when that street light starts to flicker, because they don't come on, they just right? If you ever watch street lights, they just kind of zzz for a few times. And as soon as that started to happen, I was booking home. Remember that word, booking? I'm booking. And I was riding like the witch on the Wizard of Oz. I was getting home. Because if I didn't get home in time, woo, it's a whooping. We didn't have restriction. I never heard restriction growing up. That's a West Coast thing, I think. I never heard it until I come to California, or being grounded. We were never airborne in the first place. And we didn't have a whole lot to be restricted from, so we didn't have a lot of freedom, so we called it getting a whooping. So I go home. But if I went home at 8 o'clock, what would happen? Father would go, yeah, whooping. But before I get the whooping, you get an explanation of why you're going to get the whooping. Okay, it's 8 o'clock. I told you to be home at 6 o'clock. Oh, no, Dad, I thought you said 8. Because, see, what happened was, I know there's several news things that come on. It's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, it's 11 o'clock news. I came on early because I could have come on with the 11 o'clock news. And I know you said that when you eat dinner, but, see, you eat dinner, but then you have dessert, then you sit around. I figured, you know, by the time you finish eating all that, and then you said, you know, the street lights and, you know, it's daylight savings. I didn't know what you were talking about. And plus you said, be in the house. I was outside all this time. So technically, I was home. How many of y'all tried that before? What did your parents do? Go upstairs. I'll be up there in a minute. In a whooping. One of the things we're going to look at today is, did God make the heavens and the earth in 6 days or not? We're going to look at what he said. And we're going to look at how he said it 5 different ways. Now, I called some pastors on this, asking their opinion, and a lot of them were like, we don't care. I was like, man, forget it, I'm talking to y'all. But you know what? You can go to heaven if you don't believe it's 6 days. It's not like, did you believe Jesus died on the cross? You may say it's not that big a deal. But let me give you a few reasons why I think it should be a big deal to you. One, up until Darwin's theory of natural selection, which says that all of us, and we'll get more into this later in the series, but basically it says that there was somehow, billions of years ago, in this pond somewhere on the planet Earth, these cells somehow came together and life appeared all by itself. Even though scientists can't produce life in the lab, this happened out in the pond. And somehow, this simple life became more and more complicated and evolved into all the living things that exist now, somehow. And that took billions of years to do that, somehow. You got to have more faith to believe that. And the reason it took billions of years is because it just took time for DNA to figure out how to be DNA. How fish had to figure out how to be animals and walk on land and breathe air and how to replace gills with lungs. They had to figure that out. So it took them billions of years. And the reason we don't have any evidence, physical evidence, of one animal in a certain kind evolving into another animal of another kind. The reason there is no physical evidence, let me say it clearly, the reason there is no fossil record that supports one animal evolving into another animal is because it took so long and it was so gradual. Come on. What the fossil record or the evidence supports is that all people, fish, birds appeared suddenly. All of a sudden, there's a fish skeleton and it's fully formed and there's no form of anything in between a fish and a bird. Or what we say, or any transitional form. In other words, we have an ape, we have man, but we have nothing in between, even though that's what happened. Wait a minute. You're telling me it happened over billions of years? That means there should be a whole lot of evidence. There's none. We just have the ape. We have the man. Okay, so you want me to believe that? God says he made the ape and he made the man. The evidence says there's an ape, there's a man. But the world believes that there's something in between because the world doesn't want to accept God. Bottom line. Now, the reason I think you should believe 6 days is because the Bible, we're going to see, says so. The minute you allow science that has excluded God and his word to tell you to interpret God's word, you're in trouble. Because what science will tell you is that everything has to be explained scientifically. All miracles. God can't operate outside of or contradict science. Since when? God does that every day. He does it every day. Give you an example. Light. Well, last week we talked about light. You need to get the message last week because the light is the only thing God made that he said he was. God is light. He says, I am light. Light travels at the speed of light. Time stops. Well, everything we know lives inside of time except light. God is outside of time. Light is both particle and wave. It has physical properties and electromagnetic properties at the same time. Scientists don't understand how that can be. God is both, Jesus was both all man and all God at the same time. He says, I defy science all the time. Bumblebee should not be able to fly because of its physical makeup. The Army, the U.S. military, I should say, studies the bumblebee because they don't understand how his big body and little wings, it can fly. That's true. They study dolphins because they don't understand how dolphins can swim so fast. Because what God did, he made the body in such a way where he hit their skin is like waterlogged, and it cuts down the drag on the water as they go through the water. And God just made it and said, study that, figure that out. Yeah, figure that out. He's a bad dude. Bad dude. So God made all this stuff, and he says, listen, all this stuff defies what y'all understand, science. I made science. I know the rules. I know the rules. He made the rules. Miracles are also a defiance of science. Jesus walked on water. Now, in water, I think I told you about the Van der Waal forces. I'll tell you again, some of y'all weren't here. When you look at a glass of water or a lake, there's tension between the water molecules on the surface. It's called Van der Waal forces. It's a German word. It's a magnetic force between the molecules on the surface. They're very slight, but if you fill a cup of water up to past the top, you'll see it bend like that. It's holding the water like a little a little sheet of a paper or something. Well, water bugs are so light, and their feet are designed in such a way it can walk on the water. Because the Van der Waal forces are just strong enough to hold the water bug. But they're not strong enough to hold me and you. You don't believe me? Come on my house. Let you walk in my pool. And you'll go, whoop, every time. Jesus walked on water. Jesus walked on water. He overcame Van der Waal forces. Jesus spoke and dead people rose from the dead. Touched a blind man, he saw. Mute spoke, deaf they heard, crippled he spoke, got up. He's over science. He's not limited by what he made. I'm not limited by the rules of my house. Daddy, how come you get to stay up late? Because I'm daddy. How many times have you heard that? When you grow up, you can make your own rules. God made his own rules. He's not bound by them. So you need to understand for that reason. Also, you have to understand Genesis is the beginning of the Bible. Genesis sets the foundation for the rest of the Bible. Some of your schools will teach that Genesis is an allegory. It's not really true. It's a myth. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian school and they're teaching you that, be careful. That's wrong. Genesis is fact. In Genesis, marriage was established. Man and a woman. In Genesis, Adam married Eve, not Steve. In Genesis. Amen. If you're gay, not trying to offend you, but let me tell you something. The Bible teaches that it's wrong. And the Bible teaches that God loves you, wants to forgive you, and restore you to a right relationship with him. That's what the Bible teaches. You take that out of Genesis, okay, do whatever you want then. In Genesis, it teaches that death came to the world through sin. Take that out. What do you got? In Genesis, our relationship with God, our relationship with the devil, all established. The origin of all the races on the world. We're going to talk about that in about 5 weeks. Where all the ethnic groups come from. And you're going to learn, my friends, that all y'all the same color.
Me, same color as him. What are you talking about?
All of y'all the same color. Scientifically and biblically, you'll see how everybody came from two people. Very simple. Genesis sets this foundation for all of this worship of God, the reason we have the sun, the reason we have the moon, the reason we have the stars. We'll see that tonight a little bit and more 2 weeks. He's going to set the stage of how we were supposed to eat from the beginning. All this stuff is established in Genesis and carried through the Bible. And what we're also going to see tonight is how in Revelation, God's going to continue what he started in Genesis. You take Genesis out, guess what? The rest of the Bible falls apart. That's why you need to believe what the Bible says. Don't let a godless philosophy or theory dictate to you what to believe in this book. Okay? Now, could God have made the earth in 60 billion years? Sure. Would it have mattered? No. Don't matter. And if I get to heaven, he says, Miles, you know, it really was a billion years. Okay. I don't believe it's what he's saying. Doesn't matter. I'm only going by what he said. So let's read it. Let's read it. Genesis 1:1. Review from last week a little bit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, there's a theory called the gap theory. It's written in your lesson plan. The gap theory says that there were 5 billion years of life and death on the earth, ending in chaos and death between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. In other words, the gap theory says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was beautiful. 5 billion years of life and death ended in a cataclysmic something. Devil came down, some believe the devil came down at that time, ruined everything. And then verse 2 says, after all that happened, the earth was without form and void. The Bible don't say that. Period. It just doesn't say that. Tonight I'm going to go home, drive home, get something to eat, watch the ESPN, probably read something, do some computer work, go to bed. That's what I'm going to do. And I'll do that. And then tomorrow's going to say, you know what Miles did last night? He went to Mexico. Partied all night long. Then he went up to L.A. Then he flew to New York. Then he came back on Monday morning. That just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. I went to Vegas with her. It didn't happen. She lives in Vegas. Y'all missed that one. It just didn't happen. Here's what this says. God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. That's what happened. No. What really happened, and it was 5 billion years. Please. It's not in the Bible. Next one. Look what it says after that in your lesson plan. The day-age theory. Each day was actually an age or a long period of time of about 1 billion years. This is an attempt to fit the billions of years needed for evolution into Genesis. We don't need to accommodate the scientists. The scientist needs to accommodate the word. In other words, God knows what he's talking about and he knows what he did. We're trying to figure out what he did. When you look at the dolphin, they're saying, how did this thing evolve? No, they should be asking, how did God make that? What did God do? It's going to say in verse 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and saw the light was good for food, good, and he divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day. What was the light called? Day. And the darkness he called night. What was the night darkness called? Night. What does that mean? You know what I'm saying? Day. The light was day and the darkness was night. Let's read that again because I'm confused. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. You know what? I think something happened millions of years after this that man all of a sudden made up day and night. No, he got it from right there. When you call the light day and the night night, you know where you got that from? Right there. God said, call the light day and call the darkest night. Okay, God. And so evening and morning were the first day. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let there divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And God called the firmament heaven. So evening and morning were the second day. Now, basically they believe that the earth was water, and God separated the water from the earth, from the water on the earth, and it was like a bubble of water that God surrounded with a canopy of water that next week we'll see that he then divided the waters and made the land the sea. But look what it says in verse 8. Verse 8, God called the firmament heaven, so evening and morning were the second day. The day-age theory says each day in Genesis was a billion years. We're going to look at that. Let's look at your lesson plan. One, the Hebrew word for day is yom. And outside of Genesis 1, yom is used in association with a number. What I mean by that is Moses on the mountain 40 days. Delilah went to Samson on the fourth day after his riddle. Ezekiel was in a certain place on the first day of the month. Anytime you see the day and a number, in association, outside of Genesis 1, the day word yom is used in association with a number, just like it is in Genesis 1, first day, second day, third day, 359 times. Okay? 359 times. Of these 359 times, guess how many refer to a 24-hour period? 359. Every time. Start in Genesis. So basically, 359 times God said, first day, second day, 30 days, 40 days, 50 days, 3 days, 6 days, all throughout. And yet we want to believe, they want you to believe that on this particular day, which happens to be the first day, which happens to be the foundation of what he's saying through the whole Bible, he meant something different. No, he didn't. He meant day. Matter of fact, let's look at some verses. Look at verse 5. God called the light day, and darkness he called night. So evening and morning were the first day. When you have someone in one sentence say night, day, evening, morning, first day, what does that mean? It means day. I want you home at 6 o'clock when the lights go off, when the news comes on, and I'm sitting down to eat dinner. What does that mean? It means at 6 o'clock when the lights go off and when you're eating down dinner. That's what it means. Okay, look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, God called the firmament heaven, so evening and morning were the second day. Look at verse 13. So evening and morning were the third day. Look at verse 19. So evening and morning were the fourth day. Look at verse 23. So evening and morning were the fifth day. Look at verse 31. God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So evening and morning were the sixth day. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Means day. Okay, look at your lesson plan. God said six times in Genesis 1, so evening and morning. Everybody say evening and morning. You notice how he didn't say morning and evening? Why not? My day begins in the morning. The Jewish day begins at night. Their day begins at sunset. Evening, morning. Huh. Ain't that something God put in there because he knows who he's talking to? Evening, morning. Very particular way of writing it. I would have never written it that way because my day begins in the morning. He says, I'm not writing it to you. I'm writing it to them. You figure it out. Evening, morning. Boom. Number three, the Sabbath would be millions of years. Turn to Exodus. This is the first book, Genesis. Turn to the second book, Exodus, chapter 20, Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 8. Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. You know what he said? I don't want you doing any work. I don't want your wife doing any work. I don't want your kids doing any work. I don't even want your dog working. Nobody. Rest. Well, why, God? Look at verse 11. Because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Man, what does that mean? I just don't know. You know what God says? I want you to work for 6 billion years straight. Then rest 1 billion years. Because as I made the earth in 6 billion years and rested, you should work 6 billion. No, he says, I made days. I worked 6 days and rested. You worked 6 days and rested. He said it right there. Okay, well, maybe Moses got it wrong. Maybe Moses, you know how they interpret the Bible, and God was a cloud, and maybe he didn't understand what he was saying with all the thunder and the lightning and the rain. He got it wrong. Okay, maybe he did. Maybe Moses did. In your lesson plan, it says Numbers 12:8. You can read that later. You know what it says about Moses? That God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And that God spoke to Moses plainly, not in riddles.
Well, you know, I don't know about that face to face. I don't know. Maybe God still messed it up.
Okay. Turn to Exodus chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 16. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. In other words, do not forget the Sabbath. Do not forget to rest and to remember when you're resting. That's the day I rest. That's the day I rested. Remember that. We just read it. We're going to read it again. Look what it says in verse 17. The Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. What does that mean?
It means that in 6 days he made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he was chilling.
Verse 18, it gets even better, my friends.
Well, maybe Moses, he just wrote the same thing again. He's just still confused. It's just the same thing. I don't know how that makes any difference. That it's any clearer. I just don't understand.
Verse 18. And when God had made an end of speaking with him as a man speaks with his friend, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. God wrote that himself. The Ten Commandments God wrote himself. He said, Moses, let me write this one. Take that down to those people down at the bottom of the hill. Quick, because they're worshiping another idol, which they were. God wrote it himself.
Watch this. Well, maybe God didn't know what a day was.
I don't even want to talk about that. That's just out there. Let's go back to Genesis, because some of y'all might still be tripping on the 6 million, thinking it's still 6 trillion years, or whatever you're thinking. It doesn't really matter anyway, you know what I'm saying? He could have meant anything he wanted, so we don't even need to read the Bible anymore. I mean, that's what it's going. That's what it'll get to. You believe that stuff? Oh, come on, it's a myth. Adam and Eve, come on. You don't believe that? Come on. We all know people like that. Genesis 1. The words day and night were used 9 times to symbolize the 24-hour period. In Genesis 1:14, the skylights, the stars, the moon, the sun, were given to distinguish days, years, and seasons. Ooh, watch this. This gets good. And we're going to talk about this in 2 weeks. We'll get more into the stars and supernovas and black holes and all that kind of stuff. Look at verse 14, chapter 1. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the night, the day from the night. Okay, stop right there. God said, let there be lights in the sky to divide the day from the night. Okay, I don't know what that means. Let me keep reading. And let them be for signs, seasons, days, and years. So here's what he says. I'm going to put stuff in the sky that's going to distinguish day from night. Do we have any idea what those things could be? Let's read on, because I think if you're unclear, it'll clear it up for you right now. The Bible is the best thing to explain the Bible. Verse 15, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. Then God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. So what is the greater light? The sun. What is the lesser light? The moon. And the stars also. And what are they for? To tell us when it's daytime. Even little kids. See a little kid in here?
How old is that little kid?
2 months? Oh, 2 years. Can she talk? What's her name? Huh? Nana.
No, I don't think she can help me. She's kind of like this.
Even little kids will tell you, if you ask any little kid, when is it daytime?
When the sun is out.
When is it nighttime?
When the moon and the stars are out. God made it so simple. We complicate it. You know what he says? I'm going to put the sun up there so you know when it's day.
I'm telling you that it's going to tell you day. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put a lesser light, the moon. That's not even a light. It reflects the sun, the light from the sun. I'm going to put the lesser light up there at night. And when you see the lesser light, that's night. He's telling us that. And then I'm going to put the stars up there to tell you to distinguish from days, years, and seasons. Someone who knows the stars can look in the sky at the stars and know what month it is, can know where they're at, because God put them up there to help guide us and to tell us things. That's what he said he did, and that is what he did. So why think he said something else?
The devil doesn't want you to believe this.
He said it so plainly. Night, day, evening, morning, light, dark, sun, moon, stars. Okay, some of y'all still are not convinced. Let's keep reading. Irreducible complexity. Irreducible complexity is the concept that there are things that God made, or things that exist even in the natural world, that are complex. They're functioning things that if you were to decrease its complexity, it wouldn't work. Example, a door. My sister, who found a head, she's now grown, has kids. Her daughter locked her bedroom door on her so she couldn't get in the room. She was mad. So she said, I don't want to deal with it. So she waited till her husband, my brother-in-law, came home. He's a cop, very patient guy, real quiet, just calm. And he is a Mr. Fix-It guy. He likes to fix stuff in his house, loves to make stuff, watches the Fix-It channel. And I don't even know if there's a Fix-It channel. You know, the home thing. And he has a tool belt. He has steel shank shoes, you know, like change the light bulb. He's got to go put his tool belt on, get the cloth out, cover the furniture, you know, goggles, gloves, just for a light bulb. He checks the light bulb out, looks at it, see why it burned out, maybe check the voltage, all this stuff. I'm like, man, ask me to change the light bulb. I'm all frustrated, you know. So he comes home. She says, Leah locked the door. I don't want to deal with her. You deal with your daughter. No problem. Goes into the basement. Gets tool belt. Steel shank boots. Helmet. Protective glasses. Drill. Walks upstairs. Takes the door off the wall. Puts it in the basement. No door problem. For you to have a functioning door, you need screws that go from the door into the wall. When you take the screws out, the door ceases to function. It's irreducibly complex. If you have a mousetrap and you take one piece off the mousetrap does not exist. Saying that God created the earth in billions of years violates relationships that plants have with animals, insects, light, and bugs. Let's look at this. It's called symbiosis. Plants were created on day 3. The sun was created on day 4. Birds were created on day 5. Insects were created day 6. If days were ages of billions of years, the plants could not live billions of years without sunlight or the birds and insects to pollinate them.
Well, of course, God could have made the plants to live at nighttime. Sure, he could have, but he didn't.
How does a plant live whose function is to, needs the sun, requires the sun to live? How does it live without the sun?
Well, of course, there was still, you know, light before the sun.
You're right. Okay, so you have a billion years of the light and darkness that God made.
Well, no, not God. It just somehow came because I don't believe in this God. But you, you know, since you said, okay, so you got 500 million years of light that whose sunlight wasn't created, and you don't believe in God, so I don't know where your light came from, but I'll give you that anyway.
You got 500 years of light and 500 million years of light and 500 million years of darkness. How does a plant live with 500 million years of darkness? It doesn't. How does a plant live with 500 million years of no pollination? It doesn't. Theory don't work. There's a tree called a calvaria tree. And its seed has a very hard shell that if you plant it in the earth, it wouldn't grow. The shell is so hard. But there's a bird, or was a bird, called dodo bird that would eat the seed. And when it digested the seed, the outer covering would come off. And then when the seed came out, it would plant in the ground and grow. That's God. You know what God said? I'm going to make this tree. It's going to have a hard seed. I'm going to make this dumb dodo bird eat the seed and plant the bird. You know what God, what, you know what happened 300 years ago? The dodo bird became extinct. These trees don't grow anymore. Without that bird, there is no tree. There's a lot of that in the kingdom. They depend on each other. Trees depend on sunlight and water. They depend on bugs. Bugs depend on the tree. The tree depends on the bug. The bird depends on the bug. The bird needs a tree. And the flowers, they all need each other. If it was billions of years, you would have these trees sitting here. How do they grow? How do they reproduce? They don't. Look at the next thing. Insect-eating animals, birds, bats, and other animals, could not live 1 billion years without the insects that they eat. How does an ant eater live without ants? How do bats who eat bugs at moths and stuff to fly, how do they live without the insects? They don't. Not only do they live, they got to evolve. They have to get this protein so they can become a bat from a little moth or whatever bat came from. They got to evolve and get better and better and better. How do they do that without food to even survive? They don't. It's a joke. It's a joke. Next thing, this is the kicker. There was no death until Adam sinned. Turn to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5.
Well, we had billions of years of animals eating each other and dying and evolving and destroying the earth and all that stuff was happening.
Well, you know what? The Bible says that there was no death on earth until after Adam sinned. Romans 5. 5 verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam. Death started at Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the sin of Adam, who is a type of him, Jesus, who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, because Adam sinned, we are all sinners by nature. Because Adam brought death into the world, we all die. Then it says, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace, which is salvation, by one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the very next book, chapter 15. If you are being taught that Adam never lived, then that verse has no power. If you are being taught that Genesis is an allegory, that verse is empty. Paul's lying. Misleading you. Jesus is not the second Adam. If there was no first Adam, look what the Bible says in verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall live and be made alive. If there was no Adam, then there can be no life in Christ. Because just like in Adam we die, in the same way in Christ we live. Well, if just as in Adam never happened, what's he talking about? If you're being taught the beginning isn't true, then you have to also assume that the end isn't true. That has to be true. You can't take one and not take the other. He says it right there. The Bible ties itself together all throughout the Bible. It ties itself together. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1. So when you hear that there's life and death and all these billions of years of killing us, then guess what? There was no death until Adam. And he was created on the sixth day. So everything before him, nothing died. It's only 6 days. Why does the, you're saying, you, maybe some of you are saying, well, why do they teach us evolution? Well, because they don't want God. They're godless. Why do they teach you have sex before you get married? It's okay, just use a condom. That's against the Bible too. Why do they teach you homosexuality? It's okay. It's normal. It's not normal. It's an abomination to God. That act. Sex outside of marriage between a man and woman is an abomination to God also. Adultery is an abomination to God also. Be careful now. Don't just pick one. Pick it, all of it. It's all wrong. Of course not out there because we live in a sinful world. But the Bible, you have to choose where you're going to live. You can't live in both. You have to choose either to live this or live that way. It's all. So don't be shocked that they're telling you, oh, evolution is fact. It's not fact. Oh, evolution is this. Oh, it's against the Bible. Don't be shocked. They're telling you a whole bunch of stuff that's against the Bible. You have to decide that you're going to read this book and believe it. Simple. You're not, you or and I were not originally created to eat meat. Let's look at verse 29 in chapter 1.
What about in and out? What about a double-double? I'm sure God created the double-double. Fried onions.
Verse 29, God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps, I have given every green herb for food. They weren't supposed to eat each other, and you weren't supposed to eat them. But why do we do that now? Because after the flood, it changed. God said, now you could eat them. In and out. That's what it's all in and out. Look at your lesson plan. And let me just throw this out for free. You don't need to eat meat to be healthy and strong. You just don't. How many of you have ever been on a horse before in your life? How many of you have never been on a horse or even touched a horse ever in your life? Really? You never touched a horse? Wow. Have you ever touched any animal other than like a dog? And a cat? And a fish? What? A llama. Okay. A llama? I'm sorry? At a petting zoo. Okay. It's still a llama? Okay. I mean, it's cool, man. It's cool. Don't they spit at you, llamas? Don't they spit? They spit, right? You didn't know that? camels? Llamas don't spit? They do. Okay, they do. The lady next to you and behind you telling you they do. Yeah. If you ever ride a horse or been on a horse, I would assume that undoubtedly somehow you touched it like that. I feel how strong it is. Rub its side, kind of hit it like that. Just, right? Yes? It's powerful. You get on it, it just goes, no big deal. Go, and they just, ride. No problem. No matter how tall you are, how much you weigh, no problem. All they eat is grass. That's it. They don't eat in and out. You know what that says to me? That everything that big, strong animal needs to be that big, strong animal is in a blade of grass. That's what God did. Listen, listen, listen. I'll wait till next week to tell you that. I really didn't have anything to say. I got to study for next week to tell you. I just know what I want to tell you. Let's look at your lesson plan. Seven conditions beginning in Genesis to be restored in Revelation. If Genesis didn't exist, then there's nothing to restore. If Genesis is not true, then Revelation is lying. I shouldn't say lying. Revelation is not related. But let's look at the seven of many coincidences in Revelation. The Bible says in Genesis, sin entered the world, and in Revelation, sin will be removed. The Bible says in Genesis, death entered by the first Adam, and it will be removed by the second Adam. The Bible says in Genesis, man was driven from Eden, and in Revelation, he will be restored. The Bible says in Genesis, access to the tree of life was denied, and access to the tree of life will be restored in Revelation. The Bible says that marriage of the first Adam took place, and the marriage of the second Adam will take place. What does that mean? That means that the church is the bride of Christ. We're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. He's the groom. And when a man gets married to a woman, the Bible clearly says it's symbolic of the church being united to Jesus at the end. Ooh, it's sweet. Fellas, treat your wife as Christ loved the church. Ooh. What did Jesus do for the church? He died. You need to die for your wife. Ladies, amen? Yeah. You need to lay down your life, boy. Lay down your wallet. Lay down everything. Lay it down.
I'll need bodyguards after the service.
Yes, wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. That's right. After the man serves her. And you know what? If you serve your wife right, she'll submit no problem. For reals. For reals. But after you serve her, she better submit or get it right. You know what I'm saying? Read the book, woman. Read the book. Woo, fellas, can I get an amen? Amen. You know what I'm saying? Man in the house. Man in the house. Is that right, honey? The guy who discipled me was a big 6'4", 225 pounds, 18 inches tall, this big muscular dude. And he would have us memorize scripture every week. So we get together, and I would see him every day. We play on the same team. And so in the locker room every day, he would say, "You got your scripture, brother?" Anywhere, just like right in training room, right people around. "Yo, man, break it down. Go ahead, let's hear it." I mean, he would give us like 9 verses at one time. Isaiah 55, 1 through 9. So he used to say, "Yo, man, are you the head of your household?" I said, "I'm the head." "Are you the head, brother? Does the Bible teach you the head of your household?" I said, "Yeah, I'm the head. I'm the head." He'd get us all riled up. He says, "That's right. You're the head. And your wife is the neck, and she could turn you any way she wants you to go." So you could be the man as long as she lets you. Look at your lesson plan. Let's get in the Bible. Stop laughing, okay? The marriage of the first Adam takes place in Genesis. If that did not really happen, there is no second marriage. If that not really... Forget Revelation. The second Adam marriage happened. The suffering entered the world in Genesis. Suffering will be removed in Revelation. Man's dominion ended in Genesis. It will be restored in Revelation. And one more I didn't read down here. I just want to give you this. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. This is the neat one right here. I love it. I love it. The Bible is G-O-O-D. Good. Who's the man?
Jesus.
All the ladies in the house, who's the man?
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. I know the Lord loves that. Let's look at verse, chapter 21, verse 22. Chapter 21, verse 22. Actually, if you have your lesson plan, let me just give you this one correction before you get into this. And in point number 6 at the very bottom, at the very end, it says, suffering entered the world and will be removed. It should be Revelation 21:4, not 22. But look at Revelation 21, verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or of the moon to shine, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Genesis 1, verse 2, God said, let there be light, and it was so. 3 days later, he made the sun. There was light before there was sun. Oh, it's going to be like that there. He don't need the sun. God is the light. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Jesus is the Lamb that was slain. He's the light. It's all connected.
Well, you know, it's just a coincidence. Okay.
Look at chapter 22, verse 5. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord, everybody say the Lord. Say the Lord. The Lord God gives them light. Oh, what?
We have to have the sun to have light.
No, you don't. You didn't have it that way in the beginning, and you won't have it that way in the end. You know, you ever go into a room where it's dark? What do? I need more money. I need a woman. Come here, honey. Help me. I can't see. Come here. Oh, that trick don't let that trick work. We all been there. You don't need a woman to help you see. She can't see any better than you. You don't need money. You don't need car. You don't need to cut your hair. You need light. Then why do people walk around this earth in spiritual darkness and try to see better with money? With women. With clothes. Some of y'all been there. Some of y'all there now. You walk around. You know you're a sinner. The Bible says you're a sinner. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. The Bible says sin came into the world through Adam. The Bible says sin will exit the world through Jesus Christ. He came, died for our sin, paid the penalty to set you free. He who has the Son has life. Jesus came to give us life, life more abundantly. You need light. You need the light of the world. In a minute, we're going to pray, and my prayer is that for you to say, Lord, I want your light in my life. I realize that you made me with a purpose. You made me with a plan. I didn't evolve. I'm not an accident. I'm not a product of random choice, natural selection. I didn't just get here because I survived. You didn't survive. You're trying to survive. But God made you, he created you, and one day you're going to die, and you're going to stand before him, and he's saying, you know what, don't wait till then. Accept me now as your Savior, and let me put you on a path of abundant life. Exciting life. When you look, and hopefully you do, look at, when you see Discovery Channel, Animal Planet, and I know I talk about it a lot, but look at it, and realize, those things couldn't have figured that out. We can't even figure out, as intelligent as we are, we can't even figure out how to do this life. How are you going to figure out how to be better and better and better and evolve into a whole nother creature? It's never happened. There is no evidence of it ever happened. It's only a theory because no one wants to accept God just made it that way. There's a shark called a, oh, I just, last service, I just, did I say this service? It's last service. A sawfish, a saw shark. It's got a this long beak with these blades that come out. You ever see them? And they just swim like this. You know how they kill fish? They just swim into a school of fish and they go, and they just jank them. I don't know if jank is a word, but they just jank them. Bam, bam, jank. But you know, you get the picture. And he just walks around. He got this long sword with these spikes, these blades that come out. And he just, it's like the thing you cut the hedges with. Like that. It looks like that. And he just swims through and he goes, And these fishes go, And they just die. And he just goes around and eats them. How? God just made it. Let me see. Let's make this shark with this little thing in the front. There you go. Do that. There's a rockfish. Looks like a rock. Got a mouth like this. He just sits there. And little unsuspecting fishies drive fly by, I mean swim by. The rockfish does this. In 1/100th of a second. 1/100th of a second. Boom. Then he just goes back to being a rock. He doesn't even chew. He doesn't go, oh. He just goes, oh. And then they showed the other day the rockfish ate something, didn't like it. He spit it out as quick as he ate it. He went, oh. It's not like he went, nah, I don't like it. He went, oh. Why do I tell you all that? Because when you look at it, the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen by what he made. Clearly. And God made you his most prized possession. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He made you so he can live inside you. Let him. Let him. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the rockfish. We thank you for the parrotfish, the dodo bird, for the oak tree, the squirrel, the 150 kinds of eagles. We thank you for people, all the different kinds of people that we see. We thank you that we're all the same. More than we know. And Lord, we thank you more than anything for you. That you are loving, patient. That you forgive like no man. You love like no man. Lord, if we were stuck with the version of love we experience on earth, the version of forgiveness, if we were limited to the scientifically proven version of patience, if we were limited to our intellectual capabilities, we'd be in trouble. We thank you that you transcend all that. You transcend our understanding of how good all that can be. You are so far out there in your majesty, your glory, your honor, your power, omniscient, omnipotent, almighty God, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you are all that and more. And Lord, as mighty as you are, as big as you are, as awesome as you are, the heavens declare your glory, as we'll see. The rocks cry out, Lord Jesus, you still love us. We turn our back on you, we curse your name, we curse your book, we curse your people. Even your people curse your people. But you still love us. Our sin killed you, put you on the cross, nailed you to the tree, whipped your back, put thorns in your head, and you still love us. Why? Why do you wait for us? Why do you wait for us to acknowledge you, to love you, to ask you to forgive us? Why? Because you're not like man. And we thank you. Lord, there are people here today, they're in darkness. There are people in the lobby, they're in darkness, spiritual darkness. They know they're a sinner. They know their sin has a penalty of death. They know they're going to die. And they're trying to turn on the light with women and guys and money and cars and new hairdos. Shorter skirts, tighter shirts, trying to find happiness in all these empty things. And yet it's still dark in the room. But the light switch is on the wall, and it works. Jesus, the light of the world. Lord, we thank you that you died for us. We thank you that you rose from the dead. Lord, I pray that people tonight would accept you as their Savior. If you're sitting in your seat, you know I'm a sinner. You know my sin is going to kill me. You know Jesus died for your sin. And you know he's your only hope. In the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer with me. A prayer of faith. Asking God to forgive you and cleanse you and give you a new start, to turn his light on in your heart that you may see, that you may acknowledge him as the author and finisher of your faith, someone who knew you, before the foundations of the earth. Before he made the heavens and the earth, he knew your name. Before he created time, he knew your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many you used to have. He knows their true color. He has them numbered. And when you cut them and they grow back, he knew it before it happened. If today you're saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my God. I want you to be my Savior. Pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe you are the Lord. I believe Jesus died for my sin, rose from the dead. I believe he loves me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born again, born of the Spirit of God. I surrender, Lord, my life to you. Be my Lord, my Master, my Savior, my Messiah, my Rock. My light, my first and my last, my beginning and end. Lord, I surrender my life. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up and acknowledge your forgiveness, your prayer, to acknowledge your new life, to acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. I'm going to ask you to stand up and acknowledge the fact that he is now your Savior. But if you pray that prayer, you just told God, God, I've been wrong all this time. I've been in darkness, and now I want you to be my light. I don't need the sun to see. I need you to see. So if you prayed that prayer, and tonight you're saying, Jesus, be my Savior, I'm going to ask you right now to stand to your feet and acknowledge that. God bless you. Good. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. Good. Stay standing. Good. If God spoke to you, God bless you. Good. If God spoke to you, the creator of the universe has spoken to you, God bless you. Stand to your feet and acknowledge that now he is your Lord. He is your Savior. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth looking to show himself strong on someone who's loyal, who's man enough, woman enough to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Anybody else? Stand up. Acknowledge Christ in your life. God bless you. Anybody else? Good. God bless you. Very good. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Your heart's beating. Do I got to stand? Oh, yeah. This is the place you want to do it. Because you're going to have to do it tomorrow. You're going to have to do it Tuesday. If you don't do it here, it's going to be harder. Anybody else? Good. God bless you. Very good. Anybody can curse. Anybody can skip church. Anybody can go do this and that. Oh, but it takes a humble man, a person, man of God, a woman of God, to acknowledge him in public. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Anybody else? Very good. Very good. Very good. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing. Anybody in the lobby? We're going to ask all you who are standing in this room and in the lobby to do the same thing. As we welcome you to the family of God, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat and come on down here to the altar and give me a handshake. Come on down here. Let's give him a hand. Come on. Amen. What's up, man? Stay right there, okay? Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. God bless you. Come on. Who's the man? Who's the man? Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. God bless you. Say hi to your brother. God bless you. Come on. Shake my hand now, girlfriend. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good, good, good. Who's the man? Who's the man? Who's the man? Hello. Hello. God bless you. All right now. The Bible says that if anyone's in Christ, he or she's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Now, when God created the heavens and earth, he had nothing to start with. He created something from nothing. That's what the word created means in that verse. He had nothing, and he made everything from that. Because he can do that. He can do anything he wants. God bless you. Come and shake my hand. With you, God has stuff. He's got you. He's got everything you've done, everything. He says, guess what? He's going to make even better stuff from you. All you got to do is let him. I'm going to tell you a little creation story. This is about a little ant. Y'all know what ants are. They crawl. The Terminator comes. Not Terminator. Terminex. The Orkin man. Little ants are some bad brothers. There's a little ant in the Sahara Desert called a cataglyphous ant. Comes out when it's 120 degrees out looking for a little bug that died from the heat. Because some bugs come out in the heat, they try to hang, they can't, they die. You can go out and get a tan, they just fry up. This little ant, he's tough and he can run and look for these bugs that died, take them back to his hole and eat them. So this little ant runs an equivalent of 40 miles back and forth looking for these bugs that died in the heat. And when it finds a bug, it runs straight back to its hole. And as they film this ant, they're trying to figure out how he knows where his hole is, because he'd run all over the place, all over the desert, 40 miles, equivalent 40 miles, and then he would say, my hole's over here. He'd go left, right, and he wasn't confused. How does he know? When they look closely, they realize that every time he would change direction, he would lean back on his legs and look at the sun. Bad little brother. Then he'd run over here and he'd look at the sun. Then he'd run over here and look at the sun. Then when he found this bug he was going to eat, he'd look at the sun one more time and calculate all his little angles. I don't know how he remembered all, 20 degrees to the left, 30 degrees to the right, 30 degrees, and then he goes, his little ant brain, and goes, and he would say, there's my hole. What's the point of that story, my fella? Do you know the story? What's the moral of the point? Go ahead. That's right. Anywhere you are, you look at the Son of God. From an ant. Wait. From an ant. He said, look at, the Bible says, look at the ant. And that's talking about how they work together, but that too. Wherever you go, where you got a problem, you're depressed, you're discouraged, you don't know the answer, look at the sun. Look at the sun. Who you going to look to? Jesus. That's all you got to do. Little bug. All y'all got to do, that's all you got to do. For the rest of your life, God, what do you want me to do? Your only responsibility for the rest of your life is very simple. It's not go to church, not read the Bible, not pray, not get baptized, even though you need to do all that stuff. Your only responsibility is one, is obey God. When you get up tomorrow, when you leave here tonight, God, I need to obey, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to the club. Do you want me to go to the club? No. Do you want me to go over his house? No. Do you want me to ever talk to him again? No. Unless he has a Bible in his hand. All you got to do is obey God. Let's pray for them. After we pray for y'all, Are they all going that way? We're going to send all y'all. What's your name, girlfriend?
Candace.
We're going to follow Candace. You're going to make a left? I mean, go that way, make a left. We're going to follow her. We're going to give you a book. Is that okay? Okay. Lord, we pray for these people. Lord, we thank you that you're God and we're not. Thank you, you always have been God and we never were. Thank you that you always will be God and we don't ever have to apply for the job. Lord, we thank you that you are going to transform these lives and we're not. And neither are they. You are. Thank you, you already got it planned out. Every detail is already planned out. Thank you. Bless them. Encourage them. Teach them. And Lord, I pray as a church we can come alongside them, that they will allow us to help them. Lord, for all of us in here, help us understand the word. Inspire us, encourage us in our faith. Lord, open our eyes up to what you made. When we see the moon, when we go outside, we'll know it's night. And when the sun comes up in the morning, we'll know it's day. And Lord, I pray we know that because you said it, not because we're smart. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone follow Candace. Make a left, Candace. Thank you very much. Let's give them a hand. Let's go. Who's the man? Who's the man?